Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Midway Church of Christ. Everyone's excited this morning, all right? So it is Fellowship Sunday, and everyone is still coming in and trying to take their seats. It's okay. You're late. Come on in. But we're excited. So this is the first Fellowship Sunday that we've had in about 2 years. I can't be more excited. Whitney has made her meatballs, her special meatballs. I saw Trisha's bread back there. Lots of good food. So I think everyone is excited for this day to come. Today is the Red Team's day to clean up. So if you don't know if you're on the Red Team or not, you probably are, and you need to go ahead and clean things up. We also want to thank Kathy Sarter, Herman, Kay Zolch, and Kendall McLaughlin for taking pictures, putting our membership directory together. If you haven't picked that up yet, please get with one of those people, and I think there's some that are still in the back, but they did a great job. They made all of us look good, and we know how hard that can be, but everything turned out great. And then also, April 17th, mark your calendar. There's an Easter egg hunt coming up for children 5th grade and under. If you'd like to donate candy for the eggs, there's a container for the candy in the foyer. So please bring in some candy and then plan to be here April 17th. And all kids 5th grade and under will have a chance to do an Easter egg hunt after services. I believe those are all of our announcements to get us started today. Let's join in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for the fellowship and everyone that we have here today and the opportunity that we have to worship you and sing praises to you, but also to have fellowship with one another and encourage each other and build each other up. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we pray that you forgive all of us of our sins and that you open our minds and open our hearts so that we are ready to receive the lesson this morning. All these things to you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh boy. As you can see up here, the scriptures, James 1 through 12. 3, 1 through 12. I'm going to be reading from ESV. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is relentless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the kindness likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water.
Thanks, Justin. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Before we get into our lesson this morning, the eldership wanted to announce to you that Justin, who just read our scripture, is going to be put before you as a deacon. We want you to consider him and Erica and their family for him to serve in a role as deacon to help with the youth and also use his expertise as a electrician to help us out with our facilities. If you know Justin and Erica, you know what dedicated disciples they are and what servants they are, with the kind of hearts that we want for people to serve in that position. So we want to encourage you this week to look in the New Testament text in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, where it talks about the qualifications of a deacon, and consider him. If you have any concerns or questions, give those to us in writing, signed any of the elders, and we will consider that and talk to you if you have any concerns. And if not, then we plan to install Justin as a deacon next Sunday. So if you have any questions, you can talk to any of the elders, but if you would, pray with me as we continue to try to grow our leadership here and help this church move in the right direction. And we're excited that Justin is willing to serve in that role, and something they've thought a lot about and we've talked about for some time now, and lift them up in prayer this week. And thank you for your consideration of this for us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your abundant love for us, and we thank you for Justin and Erica and their family and pray that you'll bless them in this process and that you'll also be with them as they follow you and serve you. We know that they love you. We appreciate their example as disciples. We thank you for the hearts that they have to serve people, especially people in the kingdom. We pray, Father, that you'll bless us and the leadership here at Midway, that we will continue to grow and do better and better as we serve you and reach more people in need in the congregation and in the world around us. We pray that you'll help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him wherever he leads us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Most of us have heard the expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your word shall not hurt me. We know that words still hurt. Words affect us because words are powerful. I was a youth minister and I walked into a class and I had a lot of balloons in my hand. And I gave each one to the teenagers and we began to talk about words that encourage us. And as people said words that encouraged them, they would blow air into the balloons until all those balloons were pretty full. And then we began to talk about words that discouraged us, words that had a negative impact on us, and they began to let air out of their balloons. And then my balloon was still full, and we began to talk about the power of those negative words. And I took a needle and I popped that balloon. Because we all realize that words can inflate us or they can deflate us. And we know the importance of words in relationships. And we also know that the reality is that words can either be constructive or they can be destructive. And the theme of this chapter is James wants them to understand the importance of words and the need to tame the tongue. Because many people use words that are hurtful. We've all experienced that. We've all been on the receiving end, and we've all been on the giving end. We know the power of words. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." Just a couple of verses later, it says, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." It's important that we understand the power of the tongue, but it's also important to control the tongue, to tame the tongue. Sometimes we guys need some help taming our tongues. How to tame the tongue? How do you control the tongue? When I first came here about 20 years ago, we did a area-wide youth devotional, and my topic was taming the tongue. So we had this whole auditorium full of teenagers from area churches around, and I was going to talk about the tongue, so I went and bought a cow tongue. And I put the cow tongue on a plate. And as the teenagers were listening to me, they passed that cow tongue on the plate. And we talked about how ugly that tongue was. Small compared to the size of the animal. But we began to talk about the tongue. And what we need to do with the tongue is tame it. Control it. This morning, we're going to look at three characteristics of the tongue. The tongue is powerful, the tongue is dangerous, and the tongue is inconsistent. And three responses to the tongue. It's powerful, therefore we need to bridle it. It's dangerous, so we need to control it. And it's inconsistent, so we need to monitor it. So that's what we're going to look at this morning from this text. The tongue is powerful. Bridle it. Now, he's going to start talking about the power of the tongue, especially in the context of teachers. Teachers have a lot of power. They can teach things that can lead people to the Lord or take them away from the Lord. They can teach things that are true or things that are false. And we know from Ephesians, we're to speak the truth in love. The way we choose our words is powerful as well. And we all know it's not just about the words that are spoken. Many things we communicate, a small percent are the words. The tone is a much bigger percent. Nonverbal language is a percent in the way we communicate. But words need to be watched, especially if you're in the role of a teacher. You're teaching people the truths of God. And so he says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment, because words can lead in the right direction or the wrong direction. There's teachers that teach the truth, and there's teachers that teach falsehood. And those who teach need to understand you have stricter judgment because of the words you choose and the way those lead people. For we all stumble in many things. If everyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. It means mature man. Able also to bridle the whole body. We all stumble. The Greek word indicates slip. We all slip up. Stumble in different ways. There's a lot of things that cause us to fail in our relationship with God. But if you are able to control the tongue, which is a difficult thing to control, you will be able to control in areas that aren't as difficult to control. So he says, look, you need to put your focus on controlling, bridling the tongue. Making sure that you have a rein on what you say. Because your words can either be constructive, they can inflate, or they can deflate. You can say things that deposit good things in someone's life and things that are a withdrawal. I used to counsel couples, and sometimes I would give them the assignment. Go home and pretend that your words are a bank account and keep a record of things that your spouse says that are a withdrawal or a deposit. It's always interesting because we say a lot of things that withdraw, that hurt, that aren't necessary. If you've been around me for very long, you'll hear me say, the old preachers used to say, there's three gates or three doors your words must go through. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it needful? If you just weigh out your words with those questions, you'll stop and change what you say. There's another acrostic, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary or nice? Depending on which one you look at, it changes. Both are important. And is it kind? Think about what you say, because what you say can be devastating or it can be invigorating. It can be positive or it can be negative. And it's not only what we say, it's the way we say it, with a spirit of love or not. But the tongue is powerful. The tongue can be inspiring or it can be discouraging. It can be true or it can be a lie. And who controls the tongue? It's up to us to bridle it, to bring it under rein. It's small, but it's powerful. And then he goes on to illustrate, indeed, we put bits in the mouths, a horse's mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Horses are big, 500,000 pounds. I mean, they're big. Clydesdale's even more than that. And we put a bit to lead them, to guide them. And look at ships. Although they are large or driven by fierce winds, look at like the Reagan, the big ship, that how big it is. But a small rudder will turn it. Although they are very large or driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. It's something, our tongue is something that's small, but it has great power. And we have to bridle it. Because if it goes in this direction or that direction, that's up to us. And then he says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great forest a little fire kindles. Think about that reality. Forest fires that we see on television that take our breath away when we consider the devastation of some of those fires we see. They're started with a small spark. And most of us know the reality in relationships that we've had that something small that we said that wasn't considerate, how much great damage it did. In fact, in the Old Testament, it says, the man who says something and then just says, only joking. The person who says, you think you should have got a Diet Coke instead of a Coke? Oh, just kidding, when you realize it hurt your feelings. Or you're ugly and you see that you get a response and you say, oh, just kidding. That person is like a madman running around shooting firebrands or a madman running around with a hatchet, depending on which translation you look at. But it's not a good situation when you use your tongue in ways that are careless. And so in the New Testament, we have statements like, let your conversation always be with salt, seasoned with salt, full of grace. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is beneficial for those who hear. Be careful what you say, because what you say is powerful, and you need to bridle it. Then he goes on and says, the tongue is dangerous, control it. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Does that sound good? The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is itself on fire by hell. Where does destructive speech come from? We know Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. We also know that the things that we do come from our heart. That's why Solomon would say, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it are the springs of life. James is showing here that those things that are destructive have a connection. They're of the devil. They're not good things. The tongue tends toward hurtful things, and we have to control it. But it's not easy to control. And of ourselves, we can't do it, but with God's help, we can. When man can't, Jesus can. When man can't, God can. We have, how do you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh? By the Spirit. We have His Word. We have God's instruction. We have God's help to use our words in a better way. And therefore, we dedicate ourselves for words that aren't unwholesome to come out of our mouths, but things that are good. We have to change the way we talk. We have to control it. When I was a teenager, I decided that I was going to become a Christian. I was going to be baptized. But one thing I needed to repent of and change is the way I use my tongue, because I said words that I shouldn't say. Especially sometimes in the locker room, things would get said, and I sometimes was guilty of saying the right things, and I knew part of me becoming a Christian was I was going to have to change that. So months before I was baptized, I made a deal with one of my friends that we would help each other quit cussing. Seventh graders, out in front of the schoolhouse before the bell rang. Many times things would get said, and we decided, hey, if you hear me say a bad word or I hear you say a bad word, just slug me. So we'd be out just talking. I'd be talking away, and all of a sudden, wham, right on my shoulder. I said, what are you doing? He said, you said hit you if you said a bad word. I didn't even realize I said it. So after a few bruised shoulders, I began to get better control of my tongue because I wanted to become a Christian, and I knew I had to change that in my life. May seem simple, may seem silly, but to me, I knew that had to go. I had to change that. I couldn't say that I'm a Christian and keep on talking the way I was talking. That wouldn't be right. Needed to change. It was a hard thing to get under control. And sometimes it is easy to control it when you're around other people, but what do you do when you're by yourself? God wants us to control it. We got one of those new beds where the feet go up and the head goes up, and it has a control. Dee Dee has the control. So if I start snoring, she hits the snore button and it raises the head up, and I quit snoring, then she lets it back down. She's got the control. What does God want us to control? He doesn't want you to control my story. He wants me and you to control our tongues. Do we control what we say? It's not an easy thing to control. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. It's amazing what we've been able to tame. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is what? You and I need to realize this thing in our mouths is dangerous. We need to control it. Because we can either say constructive things or destructive things. We can either lie with it or tell the truth with it. We can gossip with it, or we can do things that make other people see each other people in a better light. Some of us have a problem with our tongues. Or maybe all of us have a little problem with our tongues. It's a hard thing to control. And Satan wants us to do damage because it hurts us and hurts the church, hurts progress. He says the tongue is dangerous. Control it. We control lots of things. Do we control what we say? Sometimes we control what we say in some settings, but when we're around the people that matter the most in our homes, we can say the cruelest, unkindest, unsensitive things that are not needed, things that are not even true, things that are unkind. The tongue is powerful, bridle it. The tongue is dangerous. Think about some of the things that come out of our mouths. Control it. The tongue is inconsistent. Monitor it. He's going to say here, look, if you're a Christian, there ought to be consistency in your speech. There ought to be things that you say that are consistent, not inconsistent. But the tongue is very inconsistent. With it, we bless God our Father, and we curse men whom have been made in similitude of God or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. You can't praise God and then curse somebody that he's made. It's not supposed to happen that way. It's not to be inconsistent. It's to be consistent. And we have to change our hearts in order for that to be accomplished. If you're wanting to be a Christian, you need to have Christian speech. seasoned with salt, full of grace. We are to, Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, bless, not curse. We are to say things that are helpful, not hurtful. We are to be consistent. Consistency is the key. It also tells us that our speech is a spiritual indicator. If you hear someone praising God and then not talking to somebody very nicely, and I've heard it. I was in worship with someone, two or three people over, singing songs of praise. The guy even said amen to the preacher. After services, went out to a restaurant. Was sitting at another side of the restaurant, and I heard them get upset with their waiter and just rip into them in a restaurant at a Papacitas in Dallas. And just let that waiter have it. The way we talk is a spiritual indicator of our heart. If you don't have control of your tongue, something must be wrong with your heart. You got heart trouble, heart condition. You need to get that corrected. We should be people that set an example. What did Paul tell Timothy? Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but set an example in what? Life, love, faith, speech, purity. We should be examples of what we say, but it all hits home, doesn't it? I mean, nobody's toes are safe today. James is saying something that hits all of us because it's a difficult thing to control, but it's an important thing to control. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You want pure speech coming out of you. Consistency. And it indicates where you are spiritually. Taming the tongue. Not an easy thing to tame. And sometimes what happens when we hear and we read scriptures that convict us that maybe I need to change. I read these scriptures for several weeks. And inside my own heart, it's sobering. It's challenging when you think about it all and you want to make changes. But sometimes we're, and this is a corny illustration, but it'll help. Just bear with me. Let's say I have a lemon tree in my backyard, but I don't use lemons very much, and I want an orange tree. So I go back to my backyard, and I cut all the lemons off, and I get some duct tape out, and I get a bunch of oranges, and I tape them all over the tree. What's going to happen to those duct-taped oranges in a little while? They're all going to fall off and rot. Because if I want an orange tree instead of a lemon tree, what do I have to do? Uproot the lemon tree and plant an orange tree. And you may say, well, that's one of the silliest things you've ever said. But what do? When we hear God's word sometimes, and we say, oh, I'm going to take that cussing off. That's what I did in seventh grade. I kind of ripped those words off. But if you don't change your heart, guess what's going to happen in a few weeks? All that old stuff's going to come back out, and then new stuff is just going to fall away. Because if you want to really change the way you speak, you've got to uproot the old and plant the new. Root yourself in God's word. Think about the things you say. Make an effort to control your tongue. And when you do, you'll discover that you can control it and you can control a lot of other things. And God wants us to be people that are salt and light in the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden unless you turn the lights out. And many of us are salt and light in the world, but we have turned our lights off because of the way we talk. We talk too much. We don't see things that are, we don't say things that are true. We gossip about things. We listen to gossip. Just go to the book of Proverbs and read it this month. It says a lot about the tongue. So does the book of Psalms. The tongue is powerful. The tongue is dangerous. The tongue is inconsistent. Bridle it, control it, monitor it, and change the way you talk. David says, or one of the Psalms, Psalm 141, verse 13 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Dare to be different. Don't be a carnal Christian who's fleshly in the way you talk. Dare to be different in talking the talk and walking the walk. Maybe today you need a change in your life. Maybe the old needs to be uprooted and you need to be new in Christ. And you need to repent of your sins. You need to confess His name. And you need to be baptized into Christ. If that's your need today, or if you're a Christian who's been stuck in a rut, you've fallen back, and you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, or you want to place membership with us, whatever you need, please come as we stand.
As we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, let's let our thoughts focus on our Savior as he was crucified on Calvary's cruel cross. One of the last things that Christ said before he died was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The people that he's talking about was a mob that was going to crucify him, or that wanted to crucify him. He was convicted, charged with a crime that he did not commit. He was convicted of a charge that he had nothing to do with. He went before Pilate, and after Pilate heard the charges against him, he said, What has this man done? And after hearing some feeble excuses, he walked over to a basin and washed his hands, said, I do not want this man's blood on my body. And he walked away. The mob took him out, forced him to carry his own cross to Calvary. And as he began to get weak and closer to Calvary, and he fell, stumbled, and every time he did, they beat him with a whip. When they got to Calvary, they nailed him, his hands to the cross, his feet to the cross. And when he didn't die quick enough, they broke his bones, his legs, so that he couldn't force himself up and get a breath. When that didn't work, they stabbed him in the side. The Roman soldiers stabbed him in the side, and blood flowed from his body. It's uncomfortable for us sometimes to think about this and talk about this, but there's another thing that Christ said just before he died. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we're not the only ones that feel uncomfortable about that scene on Calvary's cross and the way he was tortured. He didn't feel too comfortable about it either. But yet he told these folks, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As we've been commanded to, on the first day of every week, to take of the Lord's Supper, and we've been given two emblems. One is the unleavened bread, which represents his body broken on Calvary's cross, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that he shed. Would you bow with me now as we offer thanks for the loaf. Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for this day. We're grateful especially, Father, now for your Son and for the life that he lived, the death that he died, so that we might have hope of eternal life. Pray now that you would bless this loaf, forgive us of our sins, for it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you'll pray with me for the fruit of the vine. Father and our God, we are grateful to you for all the ways that you bless our lives. We're thankful, Father, for your church. We're thankful for this congregation that meets here. Pray that you would bless each family that's represented. Pray now that you would bless this fruit of the vine. Pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, for it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So good to see such a big crowd. It's amazing what food will do. You know, it's just like a member magnet. So it's good to see everybody here. Again, we like to reiterate if anyone has any comments or anything about Justin Duffy as becoming a deacon here, just if you would submit it in writing to any of us elders, and we'll take that into consideration. We appreciate your consideration of Justin, and just because he's a Cowboy fan, don't take that against you. So we all have our faults. So let's move on to a few other things. First off, give a bit of a congratulations. Our very own Kevin Hodge has been named King of the Zoo. So I know that's not on the business card, but that's what I'm calling you, is King of the Zoo. But he is called VP of Animal Operations. Did I get that right? Okay, that will be on your card. So congratulations, and we are very proud of you. So, okay, we have had a few other things. Ladies Bible class will be Tuesday. And then, I'm sorry, that's Tuesday night study. And then there's a Wednesday morning ladies Bible class. It'll be in Hebrews. That's at 9:30. And we have many on our prayer list. And as we go to close out our online service, would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you this day. We thank you for this body of believers. We ask your blessings upon them. We pray we will love you and honor you. We pray that you'll be with the many numbers that are sick and hurting that we know of, and those that may be suffering in silence. We ask for your strength and watch care over them. Pray that you will go with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.